Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. So it's my brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my need. Don't have to beg because I am a thief. Cause every good. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Welcome to the Bread of Life. Amen. Segment on When Christians Speak Talk Radio. I'm your host, Reverend Ray. Amen. We're about to get started in a few minutes. I'm joined with Reverend Robin White today. How you doing, Reverend Robin?
I am well, Reverend Ray. I'm looking forward to your broadcast today. We just bless God because He is sovereign. He's still on the throne and He reigns forevermore. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we're about to get started in a few minutes. I do have a couple of quick announcements like we always do. His Abounding Grace broadcast in Minister Vanessa Wim is every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Declaring the Finish with Reverend Pat Randall is every Thursday at 12 noon. Friday Night Joy with Reverend Ray is every Friday at 7 p.m. The Bread of Life with Reverend Ray is the first and the third Sunday at 7 p.m. Challenge to Change with Pastor Paul Morgan. Amen. It's 7 p.m. on every Wednesday. Amen. Minister Vanessa Williams will dedicate. Lifeline with Apostle Shirley Jones is every first Monday at 7 p.m. In fact, she has a broadcast for the first on tomorrow, the first Monday of August. The Bold and Beautiful, Reverend Norina Reed, Reverend Curtis Austin, Minister Jordana Cunningham is every second Saturday at 10 a.m. Adoration with Evangelist Lewis McEwen. It's every third Monday of the month. Marriage Takeover, the Body of One, with Reverend Eric and Reverend Tamika Thompson. It's every fourth Sunday at 7 p.m. Hour 3, Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk, is every second Sunday at 7 p.m. In fact, there's a broadcast next Sunday. This is the awesome group of men, amen, with Elston Green, Cleophas Malone, Tyrone Rose, Antonio Mitchell, and myself, amen. Medical with Prayer with Reverend Gwen Dixon. It's every Wednesday at 1 p.m. This is a free conference call number. The number is 641-715-3580. The access code is 732-499. I want to encourage you to also go and check out our website on onechristianspeak.com. There's a lot of information about the host, and we've been doing this for 7 years. We would gladly like to hear from you. You can send us an email by going to onechristianspeak@gmail.com. Amen and amen and amen. Now, with that being said, I want to make a special announcement for Minister Vanessa Williams. Amen. On this Tuesday that's coming up, Minister Vanessa on His Abounding Grace will have Yvonne L. Ashby Coates, and she's the author of Taking Off the Mask, will be a guest on Tuesday, August the 4th. Amen. Let's go ahead and open up in prayer. Father God, we come today first to give you thanks. Thank you for your many blessings and your grace and all the things that you're doing in life. We give it to broadcast to you. God, I pray that you will come and have your way. Allow only to speak the words that you have given us to speak, Lord Jesus. We prepare ourselves at the altar for you, Lord Jesus. Pray that you forgive us of any sense of commission and omission, God. We thank you in advance. We thank you for Reverend Robin joining us today. We pray, God, for all these things to take place, that somebody might cry out, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to change my life? We pray for salvation of the souls of men and women. Help us, Lord Jesus, during this time, Lord Jesus, that everything is going on, the virus and hatred of men, God. But bring us closer to you, Lord Jesus, that we might know who you are. We might know the suffering of the cross and the purpose of the cross, and we might know that we have an opportunity to have a relationship with you. We do pray this prayer in Christ Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. and amen. Again, I want to welcome to the Bread of Life. Amen. I'm Reverend Ray. I'm joined by Reverend Robin White. We're going to continue off where we left the last time. Just talking about Psalms 27. Amen. We sort of was able to get through a couple of verses. Amen. So we're continuing on with that. Amen. I'm not going to go back and do it all over again, the first part of it. We're just going to basically just read the song, and then we're going to continue with verse 4. I encourage you to go back and listen to the broadcast, part one of this. Amen. There was a lot of positive and lifting and praising and worshiping of things that was going on that was said between Reverend Robin and myself. Amen. But Psalms 27, verses 1 said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, and of whom shall I be afraid?" Verse 2 says, "When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat of my flesh, they stumbled and fell." Verse 3 says, "Though an host shall encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war shall rise against me, and this would I be confident." You know, and basically what we're talking about here is being confident in knowing that God got us. You know, God got us. Jesus said in the scriptures, "I promise never to leave you nor forsake you." You know, so no matter what the enemy is doing or whether he's encamping you, God got us. Amen. And God got us. Now, I have a couple of scriptures I want to go ahead and talk about. But I want to concentrate on verse 3, and then we're going to move down to verse 4. We're doing it piece by piece, line upon line, and precept upon precept. Amen. So it says, "Though a host should encamp against me, my heart should not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident." He said, "I'm going to be confident." You know, then a couple of scriptures I had read before, it was coming out of Isaiah chapter 59, verse 19. It says, "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun." It says that when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against them. The word standard means banner. And he shall lift up a standard against them. So in other words, though the host shall encamp against me, I'm not going to fear it, because the Spirit of the Lord is going to raise up a standard against my enemy, you know. And then we put it in Leviticus chapter 26, verses 7 and 8. It says, "And you should chase your enemy, that they shall fall before your sword. And 5 of you should chase 100, and 100 should put 10,000 in flight. And then your enemies shall fall before your sword." And one of the things I want to point out about that and how it ties into to verse 3, amen, is two things, okay? It says, "Though a host shall encamp against me, my heart should not fear, though the war should rise against me, and this would I be confident." The thing that we got to understand about it, that we might be surrounded by the enemy and kept by the enemy, but the good thing is that God got us, you know, that we have a shelter in place with him, you know. He's our strong tower, you know, and so the enemy can be all in camp as much, but if God is with us, he's more than anything that the enemy comes up against us. The other thing that I really thought about after this, that what really speaks to my heart, is that not only that the enemy has a tendency to try to trap us or encamp us or trouble on every side, perplex and all that kind of stuff, we're in a defensive measure, but as I just read before, sometimes we need to get offensive and get an offensive mode, you know, and everything. And that's basically what I want to look at, man. I want to be too strong for you. Amen. The first song is coming out. Let's see which one I'm going to do first. No, let me read Psalm 53 and 5. It says, "There were they in great fear where no fear was, for God had scattered the bones of him that encamped it against thee. Thou hast put them to shame because God had despised them." And this is what we're talking about. They encamped, your enemy might encamp about you and everything, but God will put them to shame, and he always scattered their bones. Now, let's go a little bit further. This is Psalms 34:1. This is where I want to go. I'm going to probably read all of this. And this is what it said. It starts off with, "I will bless the Lord at all times." It says, "His praise shall continually be in my mouth." It says, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord." It says, my soul, that's getting into the essence of who we are, "shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad." In other words, I'm not only going to boast in the Lord, but I'm becoming a testimony of the things that God can do and will do. Verse 3 said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. He said, let us exalt his name together. In other words, this is not a long-range type of thing. He said, let us be in plural. You know, let us exalt his name together. Together, y'all. You know, together. Jesus said that when there's two or more of you, I'll be in the midst of. Let us exalt his name together. You know, no matter what we might be facing, this when we are in agreement, whether it's through prayer or whether it's through fasting, you know, or whether it's just being in agreement with the Holy Spirit, man, we are some powerful people. We're powerful, not powerful within ourselves, but powerful because of the Holy Spirit that dwells in. Amen. And so, and let me read it again. It says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Verse 4 says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all of my fears. He said, the scripture said, I sought the Lord. I sought the Lord. He heard me. Isn't it good to know that we serve a God that can hear us and knows our suffering, knows our trials, knows our tribulation? Even the very hairs on our heads are numbered. Our days are numbered. He knows our coming in and our going out. He knows the beginning of us and the ending of us. He's Alpha and Omega. Isn't it amazing to know that when we seek him, he hears us? And then the next part of that says, he delivered me from all of my fears. All of my fears. Whatever my fears might have been, whatever my concerns might have been, that have been, whatever my worries might have been, whatever my troubles might have been, whatever was going on, he delivered me from all. He didn't do a halfway, then he did it all. He did it complete, meaning it's finished. You know what I'm saying? It was finished on the cross. But he said, it's all of my fears. He said, they looked into him, and they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. So they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces not ashamed. When we look to Jesus Christ, we're not ashamed. We should not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, we should be enlightened of any day. You know, that means that when we wake up the first thing in the morning and we begin to think about the goodness and the mercy of God, we prepare ourselves for whatever taking the place because we know that we have Jesus. We have Christ in our life. So whatever we go through, whatever we face that day, whoever gives us the ugly eye, the stink eye, they used to call it, give us a stink eye or look at the front or say something, we know who we believe. We don't have to respond because we trust and believe in God. We're trusting and believing in God. You know, we're not even worried about that. We're not even saying, they tell us to us tomorrow, where we don't know whether you have a job tomorrow, whatever. We're not operating in fear. We're trusting and believing in God. You know, the Bible says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor the seed begging for bread. So I'm trusting and we're believing in God. We know he's going to make a way. Many of us have known for a fact how many times that we have you know, going through some things and didn't know how things were going to work out the next day, and maybe something was due, or maybe we had to go to court, or maybe someone was sick in the family, but we knew the basic of how to pray, you know, and knowing that when we prayed that God would hear us. You know what I'm saying? We know that God will hear us. So we began to pray, we began to trust in God. Amen. We began to trust in God. Then it says, I want to read this one again. This is verse 4. Psalms 34 says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all of my fears. And verse 5 said, they looked unto him, and we were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. He said, their faces, they were not ashamed. We know in whom we believe. We know he is well able to deliver us out of the hands of our enemy. We know he's well able. I'm a witness of the healing and the mercy of God. Many of us are witnesses to the healings and the mercy of God. Many of us, God has brought such a mighty long way that we can't even really tell it all, man. And when we begin to tell the story of how far did we come, that we trusted God, even in the times that we didn't trust him, when God still say, I am. You know what I mean? Even in the times that we didn't trust God, because let's be real, we weren't always in a position where we trusted God and everything. We had to go to somebody else and say, can you pray for me or whatever. And still, at times, we had to do that. We're not always like that. Then sometimes the flesh, because there's a warfare that takes place between the spirit and the flesh, there's always a fight going on within yourself. I believe this is me personally. The biggest enemy is not those on the outside, but those from you yourself and I. I believe that. Because that's where the doubt and the fear come in. But here in this scripture, man, y'all, all my fears. He took all my fears, delivered me from all of my fears. Delivered me from all of my fears. Verse 6 says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. David here is in a humbling experience. He's recognized that he's poor, you know, and everything like that. But he realized nothing with poor meaning, not as far as wealth or riches, but poor meaning that he, like, I ain't got nothing. God, I ain't got, I'm not worth it. Reverend Robert used to kind of say, you didn't have to say it, I don't know if she still does or not, but we just dirt. We just mud from the mud pile, you know, and stuff like that. And when we leave this world, we go back to the dust and everything. So he considered himself to be a poor man. A poor man that had nothing really to offer unto him. He said, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. All his troubles. That same principle, that same thing applies to us. You know, we can't be prideful and capable. Well, I'm rich and I got this in the bank. It ain't about your money. It ain't about your education. But it is about your relationship with Jesus Christ. A place of humility, of submitting ourselves to the Lord, of recognize, Lord, I'm without you, I'm nothing. But I know that I can do all things with you. Lord, I don't have it like that. You know, I can't wake myself up, but you're the one that wake me up in the moment. Lord, I can't, talk about go back to the stroke and say, Lord, I can't walk. But you're the one that command the muscles and the bones and the brain to operate and allow me to walk like I'm supposed to walk in everything. You do those things. You're the one that do those things. You're the one that do those things. So they looked upon him and were slighted, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his trouble. I'm a witness that God can save you out of all your troubles. Jesus can save you out of all your troubles. You know, it's self-inflicted, because most of us do self-inflicted ones that wasn't it. Just regular trials and tribulations. Sometimes we do things and bring things on ourselves. Well, we know we should do it, but we do it. And there's God. You know, there's God. You know, and he comes and arrests him. And we might, there might be some chastisement. In most cases, there's some chastisement involved with that. But it's okay. Because he's chasing those who he loves. He's chasing after us. You know, and the one thing I want to, oh my God, the one thing, Robert, I want God to continue to, Lord, continue to chase after me. Continue
Amen.
To chase after me. You know, continue,
Amen.
God. Don't stop chasing after me, God. Don't stop. You know, because we're going to miss it at times. We're going to do what we're going to say. We're going to go in the direction. When he said go left, we're going to go right. But God, keep on chasing after me. You know, keep on chasing. Let your mercy endure. And something like that. Let mercy endure forever. So, God, apply that mercy to me. Apply that mercy to my brothers and sisters, because we need that mercy right now, especially with all that is going on. Keep on chasing. I can't get away from that word. Keep on chasing after me. Keep on chasing after me in spite of me. Chase after me. You know, knock on. Keep on knocking. In other words, behold, I knock on the door, and any man let me in, I will come and sit with them, and I'm paraphrasing. It's another word, God, keep knocking on my door. In the midnight, during the watch hour, keep knocking on my door. Keep on knocking. I keep chasing after me. It said, verse 7 said, again, let's go back to verse 6. It says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Saved him out of all his troubles. Robert, if you got something to add, just jump in, okay?
Yes, sir.
My cousin. Okay, just saved him out of all his troubles. Verse 7 said, the angel of the Lord encamped around about them that feared him and delivered them. Then this is the part that I was trying to get at when I was reading about verse 3 in chapter 27 of Psalms, okay? The thing is, gentlemen, said, now the enemy is encamped against you, okay? But here in Psalms 34, verse 7, it said, the angel of the Lord encamped around about them that feared him and delivered them. So guess what? The enemy might be encamped around you, but the angels of the Lord is it kept about, is round about them that fear and deliver them. I'm trying to say that right. I want to make sure I say it right. The angel of the Lord is camp round about them. So the enemy might be in camp, but you got your encampment is bigger. there'll be more with us than there'll be with them. Your encampment, when the angel of the Lord, when Jesus dispatched angels, when the angels dispatched for you and stuff, are bigger and they're better and everything like that. They're bigger and they're better. Let me read up because I want to get to verse 8. It says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints. And for there is no one to them that fear him. Amen. The angel of the Lord is kept round about them that fear him. You know, we're not only always on the defense, but in most cases we're on the offense. You know, that's why he said go into the hedges and the highways and compare men and women to come in. We sometimes be on the fence and try to be in a protective mode and everything like that, and then the enemy's darts are coming. But sometimes, man, we need to be on the offense when it comes to the enemy and stuff. And that's where prayer and intercessor come in to play. Prayer and intercessor is not only a defensive, but it's also an offense. In other words, going back into the enemy camp, as they say, and taking back what the enemy has stolen, taking back what the enemy has ripped from me and stuff like that. Going to the enemy camp and knowing who we are, believing and everything, and moving forward. Going to cities and places that normal Christians wouldn't go. Going into the hood and everything and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Going into a place, a hospital, and everything with nothing all around you, but nothing but people that are dying and people that are dying of virus, and being able to go there and minister to them, going into those type of places, going into the environment, even what we do on the broadcast. We're going into different areas and stuff like that and everything, and different nations and everything like that, and preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, explaining to them that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, and he died on the cross for the sins of the whole world, not just for you and me, but for the sins of the whole world, that whoever will come into him and be born again and believe that he is the Son of the living God. Believe that he is the one that died for us on the cross. Believe in that. Trust in him and everything. And trust in him. The angel of the Lord and kept right about them that feared him and delivered them. They were there. That's why I think it was Elisha. I believe, Reverend Rob, you can correct me. I'm not. That there was a servant. It might have been Elijah, and the servant saw there was Elisha. Okay, was encamped by all these the enemy, and the servant went to Elisha and told him, said, "Look, Lord, look at them. There'll be so many." And Elisha prayed the prayer, "Lord, open his eyes." And when he opened his eyes, he saw chariots upon chariots and everything of the angels, of hosts of angels. All about them and stuff like that, to a point that we got to understand that Lord opened his eyes, and the recognition is there'll be more with us than there'll be with them in the world. I quoted that a few minutes ago. But there'll be more of us, y'all. There'll be more angels. There'll be more hosts of angels. There'll be more intercessors. There'll be more prayers. See, right there, the enemy wants us to believe. I'm not trying to stay with what we're talking about, but the enemy wants us to believe that there ain't too many people out there that's interceding. There are not too many people that are living holy before God. There are not too many people that are crying, Jesus, Jesus. You know, it's all political. It's all set away. And not saying you can't do those things, but the enemy doesn't believe that the church has gone slowly. But God always have a ram in the bush. He always have a remnant and everything. He always got 1,000 that have not bowed down to Baal. They have not bowed down to Baal, you know. So somewhere in a church all across the world, and not just in the United States, because we're not the center of the world and stuff like that. We're just a nation in the world, you know. So all across the world and stuff, there is a remnant. There is those that will stand for the righteousness of Jesus Christ. There were those that will declare the works of the Lord. There are those that have turned over all their fear, all their worry, everything over to the Lord. They're there. They are those. And there'll be more than we think there is, you know. There are more that have a desire to seek after the things of the Lord. And there's more that have a desire to seek after the things of God and to trust him and to obey him. There's more out there, you know, that's willing, you know, to die you know, for the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are more that's out there, you know. There are more. And sometimes one of the things I've noticed, and I was talking about with my brother earlier, Brother Tyrone, and everything, he's doing a lot better. And the thought I noticed that that sometimes we have to go through some things and able to for the wounds to be pulled. Sometimes we got to go through some major storms in life, some sicknesses that don't lead to death. But sometimes we got to go through things to be able to see what God is doing. But once we see, man, you talk about once we our eyes are open and we see clearly, we don't see men as trees, you know, nothing like that. We don't see men as giants, you know. We don't look at ourselves as being a grasshopper and everything, but we look at ourselves being sons and daughters of Christ or joint heirs to the throne and everything. We look at ourselves and remind ourselves who we are in Jesus Christ. We see ourselves as his peculiar treasure, the apple of his eye. When we begin to look at ourselves not through a pride, a boast within our flesh, but a pride and a boast within Jesus Christ, man, we are something else to behold. We are something else to behold. We can be that lamp, you know, that light that can't be hid in the bush, you know. We can be that lamp or that light in the midst of darkness, okay. We can be that. Why? Because we know that we are encamped by the Most High God. We are encamped by the angels of the Lord. We got the Holy Spirit on the indwelling, and we are stronger than we think. You know, we're not afraid or we're not fearful of anything and everything that the enemy might do. Going back to verse, it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. It said, taste and see. You know, that should be a testimony for us. But whoever we meet, no matter where they at, I don't care if they're a drug. Look, taste and see that my God is good. Taste and see his God is good. Oh, just taste a little bit. You ain't got to put the whole thing in your mouth, but just taste a little bit, and you'll see that God is good. God is good. It said, blessed is the man that trusted in him. Oh, fear the Lord, he says. Now you're talking about the saved people. You know, then you're talking about those that are followers of the way, because everybody said that they're saved and necessarily saved. Everybody said they're Christians, but not necessarily a Christian. You know, but he's talking about those that know him. He said, oh, fear the Lord, ye saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. There is no want. No want, y'all. No want. There's also no condemnation. Don't beat yourself up. Don't do it. Don't let the enemy allow us to be beat up, but allow us to stand strong and knowing that Jesus paid the price. And when he said it was finished, it was finished. When he said it was complete, it was completed. It's a done deal. You know, don't be the, but get up. Get up. Amen. 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 I wanna make sure I got all of that. Amen. But God is good, y'all. I want to go back to my main scripture. Psalms 27. Amen. I want to go back to Psalm 27. I want to look at verse 4. Amen. I want to look at verse 4. Amen. And this is what I got, y'all. It says, verse 4 says, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to acquire in his temple. Okay? He said, one thing that I have desired of the Lord that I will seek after. David here is making this personal. You know, we got to get to a point where we have to make this personal. Mama can't do it. Daddy can't do it. Sister, brother, pastor, bishop, apostle, all of them, none of them can do it. He said, one thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. When I looked at the word inquire, it means to, Rob, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it means to ask questions or to wonder or to want information and inquire or to get a closer with him and stuff like that. And that's what Jesus wanted us to do. There's a closeness or intimacy that we should have with him when we walk and talk with him. There's something about an intimacy with him. I always remind myself when God created Adam, And the Bible says that God was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. That's an intimacy that he wants since the beginning of time. This is not since the beginning of creation. There was a relationship that God wants with us. And through Jesus Christ, we can have that. Where the first man, Adam, couldn't do it, the second man, Adam, was able to break that bond of sin, to break it to a point that we can have a relationship with him, you know, that we can walk in the garden with him and everything, that we will be able to see him, you know, face to face one day. He said, one thing I did desire of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. Then I thought about the scripture. It says, this is coming out of Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. It says, and if it seems evil, and this is Joshua talking to the children of Israel, the children of Israel at that time, and he was telling them to make a choice. You know, he was telling them to make a choice. And he said, if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the God which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in which land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. One thing I desire of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord forever, all the days of my life. I might dwell in the house of the Lord. I might be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. Amen. I might be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. And the house of the Lord. The other thing that I looked at Psalm 23rd. Amen. I didn't get the whole scripture, but I looked at Psalm 23rd, verse 6. It says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I would, again, hear you this, y'all. I would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. One thing I didn't have, you know. I have to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm, verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life. How is that possible? Because I'm dwelling in the house of the Lord. My mind is made up. I am committed. We are committed to serve Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Come what may ever come, you know, we were going to stand, you know. We were going to stand. We didn't say we weren't making mistakes. Jesus told the people, he said that, he told what somebody, he, I can't remember where it was, but he said, you've been faithful over a few things, you know, I think it was the man that had the talent, but you were faithful over a few things, come on, I'm going to make you ruler over many. Notice the word few things. In other words, he didn't always just get it right. We're not going to always get it right, you know, we're not going to always, you know, be on and everything like that. There's going to be days we're going to be like, God help. There can be days like that, you know. But surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalms 84:4, amen, says, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. The blessed of those that dwell in the house. You know, we're in the house and we're giving praise. And the house is not the building as we think of the church, but again, it goes back to that relationship with Jesus Christ, you know. But the building is not, it's called the house of God and everything, but we really technically are the church. We're the house as individuals, you know. Now we go to the building because we don't want to forsake the assembly of us being together, but we're the church and everything like that. And anytime you're in a building per se, guess what? You got sick folks, you got well people, you got all kinds of crazy going on there. You know. And with that being said, that we have to be very careful, even in that situation and stuff like that, because we'll pass judgment on somebody, and we ain't got no business. Like you in the same boat here, you in the hospital like I am. Anyway, I'm going off on a tangent, but you be in the hospital like I am. No, you know, but one thing I always said that if you're in a building as far as the church, there should be some healing and delivering going on. If you're in a church, I'm probably get in trouble for this, but if you're not in a church setting, if you're in a church setting, you know, an environment and everything, and there's no healing going on, there's no delivering, there's no saving going on, I ain't talking about money or nothing like that or all that, but if nothing going on, run. There's no, if you're not growing in the gospel of Jesus Christ, so, you know, run. You know, all those things are important and everything. And if you're not being able to take what you're learning, and I know I'm off topic, Reverend Robinson, but if you're not being able to take what you're learning and what God has given you and everything and apply it, or to show someone else, to be that testimony, to be that light and everything like that, then you need, actually need to start a question, why am I here? Why am I here? Because we should always be in a place of growth towards the things of God, a place of growth to the things of God. Psalms 84 and 10, so blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Then if you drop down to verse 10, say, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. You know this, what I believe that David is going through, I wasn't there, but I believe it was strong, like, that he's going through a soul-searching period of time in his life, you know. He's beginning to realize, God, I just want to be with you. I don't, you know. He probably said, like, well, I don't know nothing. I don't know anything, but all I know is Christ. Like, all I know is Jesus Christ, crucifixion, and resurrection, and he's coming back one day. That's it. I believe David was at that point, like, I don't know nothing, but I've seen enough in my life to be able to the point that I trust God. I've done enough stuff that was not always good in my life that even then God still spared my life because I still trust God. I still would trust you, Lord Jesus. You know, I still want to dwell in your house. You know, come with me. Take the crown, take the riches, take the gold with them, but let me just be a doorkeeper. You know, let me be the greeter that when people come in and they see that my zeal for the Lord is strong, you know, let me be that type of person, you know, to greet them and be a doorkeeper. Because if I'm a doorkeeper, I'm in the house. If I'm a doorkeeper, even so, I'm at the table, y'all. I'm in the house. I'm doing it with the presence of the Lord all around me. You see. Wow.
Bless you.
Thank you. Yeah. He said, blessed are they that dwell in the house. They will be praising thee. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. A day. A day. Just a day. You know, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. I'd rather be a doorkeeper. Amen. Amen. You good, Reverend Robin?
Yes, I am, brother.
I'm
enjoying your message.
Amen. Amen. Psalms 27, verse 5 says, but in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Hallelujah. So in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. So in the times of we hid in his pavilion. We hid in that the very thing that he created. Man didn't create it. The government didn't create it. God created it. We hid it. You know, in the secret of his tabernacle, he shall have me. He should set me upon a rock. We're set upon a rock. What's that rock? Jesus. What's that rock? The promises of God. The yea and amen. The so be it, the promises of Jesus, you know, he set me upon a rock. You know, when I get the image in my mind, get the image in your mind of being set upon a rock. You're sitting, you're on a mountaintop and you're sitting upon a rock. You know, what is it that you see when you sit upon a rock? It's a little higher than what you would normally be if you were standing on the ground or kneeling or whatever. Because you're sitting upon a rock. You can see things a little bit different. You've been elevated. A little bit different. It's not, and it's not that, don't get me twisted, it's not that you've been elevated to, and you can be Lord or King or nothing like that. But not, in most cases, we see things a little different when we're elevated. You know, a prime example is the way that I look at things now, you know, and not the same way I look at things 10 or 15 years ago. I'm not the same. You know, when I first started off back in ministry, I'm not the same person and stuff like that. Before, you know, I had to go through some things to get to the way it happened over there. There was a process that had to take place, you know. There was a process. And there was some trouble that had to come my way. There were some stumbling blocks not rock, but stumbling pebbles or rocks, whatever you want to call it, that had to take place, you know, for me to get to point. And not that I'm not around. I have no way of have attained anything, but there's a process. You know, there's a growth process. There's a moving of the Holy Spirit. There's a molding process, you know. You know, like the potter, like the potter in the potter's, the clay in the potter's hand. There's a molding process, you know, and everything that has to take place where he's molding us and he's grooming us and he's cutting away this and he's shaping us into what he should fit, not what we think. See, we think, we could, at times, can think very highly of ourselves. But what he sees, you know, Master Robin is well known. Look, I want to match the glory what you see me in, you know. That when you look down and you see me, you don't see me. You see a reflection of yourself, what you see me in, okay, and everything. So we've been, you know, we've been shaped and we've been molded and everything like that. And one of the things from Master Graham that I know for myself, that in those processes, because I've seen it done, you know, with the clay and everything, it doesn't look like it's easy because they're like pushing and shoving, and then they take you and flip it, and all these different things are going on and everything. To me, that don't feel good. But the outcome of it, the end result of the thing, man, is important. The end result of the thing is important. And going back to verse 5, said, in the secret of his tabernacle, he should hide me. You know, he should hide me. You know, in other words, what he's doing with me and everything like that in the molding process is saying to me, and he's saying to you, is that I ain't finished with you yet, but I can't really show you to anybody yet and stuff. But once I'm done, they can say, oh, look what God did. You know, some of us have that kind of testimony that the doctors or lawyers have given up on him. We should have went to jail. We should have been dead. But then here we are still in the land of the living, breathing. And then the testimony was, that, oh, look what God did it. You know, we don't take any credit for what God has done. We glorify him. We magnify him because we say, this God did this. God did it. Yes, he did. You know, God did it. We glorify him. You know, and if we don't, we are foolish to not give God all the glory. We become like fools, man, if we don't want to sit there and give God, look at, hey, well, nothing I did. I had to do the exercise, and I was like, but this is all God. I don't want me. It's like, I don't even want the credit. I don't even stop with that right now. I don't want no credit, no nothing. This is all God. This is all God. And then Psalms 91 and verses 1, amen, it says that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High should abide under the shadow of the Almighty. There's a secret place. There's a special place that we can go to. You know, and there was a movie that was out, and the lady was going to her prayer closet, her secret closet or whatever. But there's a place that we can go in, man. We can go in and get restored. We can go ahead and whatever we need is right there. It's at the table, you know. It's at the table. That's the secret place of the Most High. That we should, let me read it again. He that dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Even his shadow, you know, of the Almighty is holy. Amen. It says, verse 2 says, this is Psalms 91. It says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. Amen. We've been talking about refuge. Amen. We've been talking about being surrounded, being encamped. Say, he's my refuge and my fortune. He said, my God in him will I trust. Never he's making a declaration. He said, my God in him will I trust. You know, he's saying it. I mean, I can't imagine David said, but I know I can say it like that. Hey, in him will I trust. You know, and just so that you know who I'm talking about, said, my God. My God. The great I am, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. My God, you know, El Shaddai, my God. Elohim, my God, you know. Jehovah, my God, my God. Oh, my God, my God. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. I want to trust him no matter what. Because he allowed me He's saying to me, dwell in my secret place. He's telling us at this time that even all the stuff in the wars, the rumors of wars is going on, and coronavirus is going on, and the hate. And then he said, come dwell in my secret place. You know, come into my fortress. You know, and then try to lean on me. Don't lean to your own understanding. Don't try to figure things out by yourself, but come to me. You know, my yoke is easy, my burdens are light. Come to me. His verse 3 said, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the northern pestilence. He said he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. That those that have made up their mind they want to destroy you. That have made you know, we all the type of things is necessary people, okay, that are the enemy. But because, and I said this earlier, sometimes we are our own worst enemy. You know, and stuff like that. Ourself, our flesh, because of the warfare that goes on between our flesh and the spirit. Okay? So it's not, and then there are spiritual entities that's at work, and demonic forces that work, and we have to be very careful. Even then, we have to, you know, recognize them and put them in their place because they're underneath our feet. When Jesus died on the cross, all those things became underneath our feet. They're underneath the feet, our feet, as believers, not as of ourselves, because in ourselves, we don't have any power. But with Jesus Christ, we can do all things through him that strengthens us. Amen? He says that, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and then from the noises of the pestilence. You know, that's those little gnats and bugs and everything that's making all kinds of noise, you know. You know, that's those, the locusts and all those kind of things that comes and eat up everything. You know, there are some countries, the locusts come there and they eat up all the crop, all the grass. There'll be no blade of grass left whatsoever. And they need it like it's a desert scene, like nothing ever lived there and stuff like that. You know, and you hear them coming. I remember when the cicada bugs was around and stuff like that. I guess they're still around, but when they was in, I guess a few years back, they was all over and they was loud, you know. You knew they were coming. You could hear them and stuff. You didn't always see them, but you knew they were there and everything. God can deliver us from all of those things. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He said, cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. Amen. Under his wings shall thou. Oh, what am I reading? He said, surely he should deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise of the pestilence. He should cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. We talked about that on the last broadcast, again, about being a shield and buckler, about being the shield and a buckler. He said, cover thee with his feather. There's a covering, you know. There's a covering that's over us, you know. As believers, there's a covering. The worst thing we can do is come from underneath the covering. You know, well, I don't know if that's possible to come from underneath the covering because the covering is always there. You know, it's, anyway. But he said, cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. We can do things, you know, that, what do you think, Reverend Robin? Okay, you got quiet on me. Okay, yeah, anyway. Under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall by thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near thee. It shall not come near thee. It shall not come near thee. You know? I want to read Psalm 91 again. This is one of my favorite scriptures. It says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and the noise of his pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. In other words, thou shield and thy buckle, my defense and my offense. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by the day, nor for the pestilence that walk in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall by thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Amen. I want to thank God for the word of God. And I pray that it has been a blessing. We are almost out of time. Amen. And we want to go ahead and close out in prayer. Amen. I just want to thank those that have been listening. Again, I just, you know, this is a season and a time, man, for believers, all of us, man. You know, Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior. You got to seek after Him, man. We got to go to that secret place and cry loud and spare not and lift up our voice like a trumpet, you know, and declare the wondrous works of Him. It's time, it's season. But, man, we can't be, you know, weary and well doing. We can't give up, man. We know that the world is in a state where it's speaking out hopeless situation. But every time we hear a hopeless situation, we speak Jesus Christ, you know. We speak the language of Jesus Christ. We are followers of the way, not just Christians, amen. So we're living in that time right now, and that's what we have to do, you know. I mean, you have people that are dying left and right. They're leaving this world, man, big time, you know. They don't care whether you're rich or you're poor or anything. It's a season, and people are leaving, you know. So the question for you and I is that, I mean, you know, when I leave this world, when you leave this world, where will I spend my eternity? You know, do you know Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior? Have you accepted Him? Did you know that He has forgiven you of all your sins? You know, all that takes is confession with the mouth and believing in the heart and everything. You know, and then ask for the Holy Spirit. Ask for the Holy Spirit. It's right there. It's a gift for anyone that desires it. It's right there. You know, find the Bible, believe in churches. I know that we are no longer, a lot of churches are not in function because of the coronavirus thing, but find a group of people that you can have a relationship with and show you Jesus and you can learn from them and stuff like that, you know. Like I said earlier, we're the church. There ain't never been about a building, you know. Buildings come and go, get old, break down, but us as far as believers and stuff like that, we're the church, you know. You have church in your own home. You're not necessarily in a building. It's a good thing that we do and have those places, not knocking them and stuff like that. You know, but I heard people say that they didn't close down the church. No, they didn't. They didn't close down the church. You closed down a building, okay? You closed down a building. And truth be told, it ain't knocking down, it's gone. You would never know there was a church there. But anyway, I want to thank you for joining us today. Reverend Robert, I don't know whether you are still on or not, but thank you also for joining us.
Still on, being blessed by your work.
Amen.
I wish
you
had read
Psalms
91, because the last part of Psalms 91 is God actually speaking, and where He says, and He is speaking, this is Psalm 91:14. And if you put yourself, make it a personal thing, you know, because I have set my love upon Him, therefore will He deliver me. He will set me on high because I have known His name. You know, you have to get into the 91 Psalms and make it personal. You can say, I shall call upon Him. And He will answer me. He will be with me in trouble. He will deliver me and honor me with long life. Will He satisfy me and show me His salvation? You know, you have to get into the Psalms 91 and just make it personal. And I know my brother was speaking a place of rest. I mean, if you get into Psalm 91 and make it personal, a personal conversation with God, a personal conversation of Him just coming forth and reminding us of how He is with us, how He has us, how He will keep us. You know, we just have to get into that entire psalm and make it personal. Yeah. And know that I shall dwell in that secret place of the Most High. I shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That is just where I shall. As a child of God, I have the privilege, I have the honor, I have the ability to just go there and dwell. And the whole thing about that, and as my brother, Reverend Ray, was saying, a lot of churches aren't open, you know? So it is not necessary to go to a church building. All you have to do is sit before God, because the Holy Spirit is within you, and dwell with him. And he will meet you right where you are, because his scripture says that, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Lord? So at any point that we want to dwell with him, if any point we want to come to that place and rest, all we need to do is get ourselves settled down and sit and just go before him and dwell. Because in dwelling with him, in just seeking him, it is in that place that he will meet us. It is in that place where he will calm every fear. It is in that place where he will calm and order our minds and just stop them from just going hither and thither. I mean, it is in that place that he comes and he restores us. You know, just sitting and dwelling before him, you get up with a refreshing. And that is the blessed part. Yes, you know, we may have depended on going to these church buildings, but if you were going to these church buildings all these time just to check something off your checklist, it is time right now to sit down before God and truly develop that personal relationship with him. Develop it so that when the churches open up, you'll be excited to run there with joy and to share all of the marvelous things that God has done. Amen?
Amen. 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 Thank you, Reverend Robin. Amen. Amen. That's an awesome word. Amen. Awesome scriptures. Psalms 91, awesome scriptures. You know, like, what you said earlier, that it's definitely time to examine ourselves, you know, for our reason, for why we do what we do. What are we going to church for? Are we going there because it's the right thing to do, or are we going there because our parents did and grandparents did and that's what we do on Sunday, you know? Or are we going to have for an intimate relationship that we can do, not necessarily church, we can do it anytime. You know, are we going there for fellowship and everything, or for because it's a club or whatever, whatever the reason why. But this is a time for us as the body of Christ to examine ourselves and examine our motives about why we do what we do. And then make sure that if you want a relationship or intimacy with God, it's to do that, you know, to seek after him and the things of him. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray out. Father God, I just want to thank you for the word, God, that you brought forth today. I thank you, God, how even for me, God, I need this word from you. I need a relationship, a closer relationship with you. I want to get closer. I want to be like David, Lord Jesus. I want to be like me. But I just want to be close, have a relationship with you. You know, nothing else really matters except for you. Nothing else matters, God. Not where I live, not the cars, not anything. But all I want to do, and for those that want to do the same, God, I pray for them today. That you, God, will begin to open up the understanding in the scriptures. That you, Lord Jesus, will begin to tap them on the shoulder and remind them just how much you love them and just how much you want them to live and not die. To show them the excellency of your way, Lord Jesus. I pray for those that are sick and shut in, that are going through many trials and tribulations, whether it's coronavirus or whatever it can. I pray for health and life, and I pray for complete holistic healing, God, for the body, mind, and soul. I pray, God, that those that you have created testimonies on, God, would speak and spread the word, Lord Jesus, that you are still God and you're God all by yourself. I pray, Lord Jesus, for every pastor, every bishop, every apostle, God, every reverend, every prophet, God, every teacher, every evangelist, God, whoever it might be. I pray, God, that even during this time, that awakening might take place of the people of God, that we may seek more and more of you and seek lesson of the world, Lord Jesus. I pray that we be that salt, light, and power that you have commanded us to be. I pray today, God, for families, for sons and daughters, and for marriages, and for single, God. I give them all over to you, Lord Jesus. I give to you, God, to those that don't even know who you are as a being. I pray for those, Lord Jesus, who you have ordained for salvation. I pray for those that don't know you as the Lord and Savior. Wherever they may be, not just in the United States, but all across the world, God, I pray for the salvation in the many. I pray, God, that some will come running saying, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to change my life around, God? Continue to protect our family, Lord Jesus. Continue to protect our family. Lead us to the rock, which is higher than I, which is you, Jesus. We want to give you all the praise. We want to give you all the glory. We want to hear you say, well done, when our final trumpet sounds for us, God. We want to hear you say, well done. Again, we say thank you. We magnify your name. We glorify you, God. With all that's in and within us, we glorify you. But truly, there is none like you in all the earth, God. None like you in all the earth, God. When we look back over our lives and we look at the wondrous things and the miracles and the things that you have brought us in, we say, thank you, Abba Father. We give you praise. We give you your praise, God, for everything that you've done, everything that you've done for us and our family, and how many times that you've saved us and delivered us, time after time after time after time again. You did it, Lord Jesus. Not because we were so righteous, and not because we come from this family or that family, God, but because of your grace and because of your mercy, we give you thanks. As always, we continue to love on you. Allow us to love on our neighbor also. And to show them a more excellent way, we do pray this prayer in Christ Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Again, I want to thank you for listening to the Christmas Beat Talk Radio. This has been a great of life. I've been your host, Reverend Ray. I'm the drummer, Reverend Robin White. And this has been Understanding Psalms 27, Part 2. Amen. And when I finish it, we're going to do it again. Amen. When we get the time again, we'll do it again. Amen. Probably able to finish it up. But thanks again, Reverend Robin. Thank you for your words. God bless you. Have a blessed night.
God bless. You too.
God bless. Amen.